Thank you for tuning in to an Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. You're listening to a message from our series on joy. Take what you learn from this message, practice it, and walk in joy. 55, 11 to 13, and I'm just going to read verse 12 and 13, all right? Verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forward in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hand. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So we talked about how God wants his people to have such joy, and even so much joy that creation is rejoicing as you go. And you and I know if a person is joyful, where they go, joy kind of spreads, doesn't it? But it's really interesting to know that even creation feels that joy. I said this last week, and I'll repeat it again. We are always thinking, speaking, and doing. We are always planting and reaping. So choose to think, speak, and do things that bring joy. In other words, choose joy. Today, our message is being thankful brings joy. We are told in Scripture to be thankful in every situation. Now, this is easy to say, not so easy to do. But being thankful in every situation is something Scripture tells us to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So be thankful in every circumstance. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says something similar. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. Thanksgiving or being thankful was a big part of how God's people served him and came before him all the way from the beginning of time. And we read in the Old Testament how they were instructed to come into his presence, to come before him being thankful. Let me give you a couple of verses. When we read in the Old Testament time, they were actually directed to have a thanksgiving offering or a thank offering to the Lord. And what they would do, and you can read about it if you want later, it's Leviticus chapter 7, 12 to 15. So what they would do, they would bring their offering, and it says they would bring it to the altar, and then they would hold it up to the Lord and say, oh, this is the thank offering, here it is. And then they were directed to take that same offering that they had stored up and prepared and brought before the Lord. They were supposed to take it and go eat it and celebrate. And I want you to see something about being thankful. Being thankful is good for you. Being thankful blesses you. You're not being thankful because God needs it. Okay? He didn't even take that. They didn't burn that to him. They raised it up, and then they were supposed to go take it and get it with a bunch of people and celebrate while they ate. And it started with being thankful. So being thankful brings blessing to you. When we read in Old Testament as well, we see that thanksgiving or being thankful was always a time of joy. And there was music, praise, and it was usually loud. That was part of being thankful. It's hard to be quiet and be thankful for long. I mean, think about it when you were a little kid, Christmas morning, and you got the toy you wanted. I mean, were you loud when you were thankful? I think you were. Maybe the odd person wasn't. But most people get loud when they're really thankful. And it was no different in Bible times, and it's no different today when we come before God being thankful. In 1 Chronicles 25, 1 to 7, we read an interesting story about King David when he put together the first temple. It was actually a large tent, but it was the first place where they honored God in 1 Chronicles 25. And David put together a group of singers and musicians, and their job was to give thanks and praise continually before the Lord in that big tent. Okay? And you can read about it in chapter 25, 1 to 7. And when you start reading at verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, you will see that they are all these people, their names, their lists, and their whole family. And when I read in verse 5, I thought this was kind of interesting. Just read verse 5 with me. It says, all these were the sons of Hermon, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn or the trumpet, and God gave to Hermon 14 sons and 3 daughters. That's a big family. And it sounds like they all played trumpets. I'm just wondering what music practice sounded like in their home. Can you imagine 14 kids blowing the horn? Now, they would have used ram's horns, not the trumpets we have most likely, but it must have been interesting. So there were all of these people, many of them, and verse 7 says this. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, were 288, if I got that right. 288 people were on their worship team. That's a large group of people set for one purpose, giving thanks and praise to God. It's that important to the Lord, but also it is that important for us. Let me give you a few verses that just talk about it really quickly for those who like to write them down. I'll try to say them clearly. Psalm 50 and verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. When you are thankful, you magnify the God you serve. When you're unthankful, you're telling the world around you, yeah, my God isn't very good, my life stinks. Thankfulness is a form of praise and magnifies who you serve. Who you serve, the attitude and what you speak, if you're thankful or unthankful, says a lot about who you serve, doesn't it? And it says a lot about you. But think about this, if you work at a job and you're always complaining about your work, it says a lot about what you think about your boss, doesn't it? And the place you've been put. Okay, we'll just leave that alone because we don't want to go in there too much. All right. Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with songs. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. If we truly want to enter into the presence of God, according to this scripture, you enter in with thanksgiving. I've seen it over and over through the years. If you become unthankful, if you become grumpy, if you become a complainer, it is difficult to enter into God's presence. Think about it for a minute in the worship time. If you come into a church, any church, doesn't have to be this one, but if you come in and you go sit, you sit somewhere, and you look up and you're like, I don't know this band, I don't like them, that guy plays the way I don't like, and the drummer's too loud, and that one singer's screechy, and you don't enter into the worship at all, do you? But if that's how you feel when you start, you never enjoy it, do you? Doesn't matter who's up there, you're not going to enjoy it, and you're not going to feel God's presence. But if you come in thankful, Lord, I thank you. There's people that are willing to get up there and do their best. I'm thankful, God, that, you know, the sound people and these worship team got here an hour before me to get ready. This is good. I really enjoy this. I'm going to worship you. Then you now enjoy it and you come into his presence. I want to take a minute or two, and I want to read you a parable. Does everybody know what a parable is? A parable is a made-up story. There's truths in it, but it has a main truth that it wants you to give. Jesus told parables in Scripture, and he told them to teach people a lesson or to help them understand something about God's kingdom. So I wrote a parable, and I wrote this in 2016, and if you were here in 2016, you might remember it. But it's called The Parable of the Cow Pies. So listen carefully. They're like, what? Just stick with me. There were two brothers. We'll call them Brother One and Brother Two. They grew up poor and couldn't afford milk. They dreamed about having large glasses of ice-cold milk, and as they drank, milk was running down their cheeks. But when they awoke, there was no milk to be found. Both boys decided when they grew up they were going to own lots and lots of milk cows so they could drink milk whenever they wanted. They prayed every night that God would make this happen. When the boys left home, they moved to two different countries. Brother One moved to the country of complain, and Brother Two moved to the country of thankful. They each married a wife and had five kids, three girls and two boys. And they both began purchasing milk cows just like they had prayed. Their stories began the same but had very different endings. Brother One, who had moved to the country of complain, while milking his first cow, Brother One noticed how stinky cows were and that they were always making cow pies. He stepped in one entering the barn as he was milking. And the cow slapped him across the back of the head with a cow pie tail. Brother One was so angry he felt like kicking that cow, and that's exactly what he did. Brother One complained constantly about his stinky cows and their cow pies. He wished there was a way to make those cows stop making cow pies. He stopped feeding them for a time, but they quit producing milk. He hated cleaning up those cow pies, so after a while, he just didn't. The cow pies began to pile up so quickly, soon Brother One had to use hip waders just to get to his barn. When he returned to his house, he was completely covered from head to foot in stinking cow pies. Once in a while, Brother One would still have dreams about drinking a glass of ice-cold milk, but as he was about to drink, the milk would turn brown and stink like a cow pie. He would wake up only to find the smell in his room overwhelming. Brother One complained continually and became so bitter and angry that his wife and kids never wanted to be around him. As he sat on the edge of his bed one morning, angry and thinking about cow pies, he shook his fist at God and yelled, "I hate you. Why did you do this to me?" An evil thought crossed his mind. The anger and bitterness had overtaken him. His eyes became narrow slits. His hands began to shake. He grabbed his gun and he headed to the barn. His cows would never make cow pies again. Now, Brother Two, who had moved to the country of thankful, while milking his first cow, Brother Two noticed how stinky cows were and that they were always making cow pies. He stepped in one entering the barn, and as he was milking, the cow slapped him across the head with a cow pie tail. Brother Two was so angry he felt like kicking that cow, but he didn't. Brother Two thanked the Lord continually for his stinky cows. He knew cows came with cow pies and realized he would need to find a way to look after that waste. He quickly installed mechanized systems that would clean the barn for him. He spread those cow pies on his fields and gardens and saw his produce double. He also began to bag the decomposed cow pies and sold them at Walmart for $12 a bag. What a smart guy. Once in a while, Brother Two would still have dreams of drinking a glass of ice-cold milk. And as he was about to drink the glass, he would just begin to overflow. He would wake up and head to the fridge for a drink of milk just because he could. Brother Two thanked the Lord continually and became so joyful and happy that his wife and kids always wanted to be around him. As he sat on the edge of his bed one morning, thankful and thinking of how much God had blessed him, he stood to his feet and shouted, "I love you, God. Thank you for all you've done." A joyful thought came to his mind. The joy and blessing of the Lord had overtaken him. His eyes became wide and his hands began to shake. He grabbed his wallet and headed to church. His cows and their cow pies had made him very rich, and his mind was made up. He would spread joy and blessing with others again and again. That's the parable. All right, there's a lesson in there. I don't know if you caught it, but we serve a God who wants us to be thankful. And this was a made-up story, but many parts of it were true. I grew up on a farm, and I milked a couple cows, and they do whack you in the back of the head from time to time with their tail. Also, there are mechanized systems for cleaning barns, and you can buy stuff at Walmart and Canadian Tire. The point of the story is this. Life and where you're going and how it looks can be determined by your attitude and whether or not you can be thankful and work through things or not. I actually kind of made a statement here that'll maybe help you remember it. Listen, maybe this will help it stick in your mind. When life brings crap to thankful people, they turn it into fertilizer. When life brings crap to complainers, they roll in it until their whole life stinks. Maybe that'll help you remember. Okay. Thankfulness can also be a step of faith that brings blessing and joy. I want you to see this because we're told to be thankful in every situation, and I have found in Scripture that thankfulness was the beginning of a miracle coming, the beginning of a change. We see this in John chapter 6 and verse 10. John chapter 6, 10 to 13, this is Jesus feeding the 5,000. Maybe you've heard this story while in Sunday school, but Jesus has been out preaching and he's in a far off place, you'd say the desert or the wilderness. He went away from the town and he's teaching people. And he's been teaching for 3 days and nobody has food there. And they come, the disciples, to Jesus and say, "The people are hungry, you better send them away." And Jesus says, "Well, you guys feed them." And of course, the disciples are like, "What? We can't feed them. We don't have enough money. We can't do it." And Jesus says, "Well, what do you have?" And they find a young boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he brings the bread and the fish. And then Jesus says this in verse 10. Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost." And they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. So there's a key point in here that sometimes we read over quickly. Now, first of all, when I read this story, it surprises me that many people would be in the wilderness and have no food. The only person who thought to bring food was a boy, and probably his mom thought about it and sent him with some lunch. But the 5,000 men that were there, not one of them brought lunch. I don't know. Or maybe Jesus just preached way too long. 3 days. Anyhow, here they are about to eat. They are way too many people. Jesus only has a little bit of food, not even close to enough. His disciples haven't figured out what he's been teaching them. He could have taken what was there and complained. He could have been, "Well, Lord, here we are. We don't have enough. You failed us again." Well, he wouldn't have said that, would he? But there isn't quite enough here. My disciples can't figure this out. We don't have enough money to buy food. I guess I'll eat first. No, he didn't say that. But in that situation where he could have felt discouraged, instead, he holds it up and he thanks the Lord. We don't know for sure what he did when he thanked the Lord, but I am pretty sure he said, "Thank you for what you've provided. It'll be more than enough. Thank you that no matter what the situation looks like, you've got us covered." And then he took it and broke it, and it multiplied and fed a multitude. Here's another story also from Scripture that is really has a thankfulness to it, and it's in Acts chapter 27 and actually a part of 28. So obviously we're not going to read it all, but if you want to look at it later today, it's chapter 27 and 28 of Acts. And this is the story of Paul, who is taken prisoner, and he is riding in a ship. And while in the ship, there is a terrible storm that comes. Now, you need to understand, Paul used to persecute Christians, and he had permission, and likely his way and his food was provided, and he persecuted Christians. But he saw a great light, and he was knocked off his horse. He came to follow Christ, and since he's been following Christ, a lot of people don't like him. They've tried to kill him once or twice. Now he's a prisoner, and he is on his way to see the number one guy who can help him. In today's thing, it would be like, okay, he went to Slave Lake Court. It didn't really work out so well, so then he went to Edmonton Court. Didn't work out so well, and now he's on the way to the Supreme Court. But he is a prisoner in a ship. They're in this ship. The storm has started, but the thing is, Paul had told them before they left the port that they were in, he said, "I don't think this is a good idea. I don't feel like it's good. We're going to lose the ship. We might even lose our lives." And nobody listened to him. But here they are. They are now in a storm. And they have not seen the sun or stars for a few days, and it said that everybody on the ship began to give up hope. And so Paul did what he always did on a regular basis. In the morning, noontime, evening, and in between, he went on Facebook and complained. And he said something like, "My life is horrible. The ship's going to sink and I'm probably going to die. And it's everybody else's fault." I wrote this in 2016. It's not about any of you. No, he didn't. He did what he always did on a regular basis. He prayed. We know from reading the scripture that Paul had an attitude and a heart of prayer. He was always talking to God about things. And so we understand that he'd been praying, and he says this in verse 22. He begins to talk to the men on the ship, and he says, "Take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you.'" So in the middle of this storm, he prays, God talks to him, an angel is sent, gives him the message. He gives them the message, but the storm doesn't quit immediately. And in verse 33, after a total of 14 days now in the storm, they haven't eaten for 14 days. They're fasting, they're lightening the ship, they're doing everything they can. In verse 33, just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. "You've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks," he said. "Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your head will perish." Then he took some bread and gave thanks to God before them all, and broke a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board. I want you to think about this for a minute, because reading it is easy, but you need to see something. The storm was still raging. They were still lost at sea. They had not eaten for 14 days. They had given up hope. Nothing had changed, except Paul had heard from God and believed it. And now he did something that I believe is a key. He began to thank God. We don't know exactly what he thanked God for, but we do know that with a thankful heart, he took that bread and he thanked God. Lord, I thank you. You have food for us, and not a hair of our head is going to be touched, and that every one of us is going to live. And he obviously had a joy, something coming there, and he began to eat, and it said everybody in the ship was encouraged and began to eat. Of course, the miracle comes quite quickly after that. And if you read the story, you know that they realize they are actually close to land, and they take the ship trying to go up a river. They hit a reef, and the front of the ship sticks fast on the reef, and the waves begin to bust the ship up. So they swim to an island, and anybody who can swim, swims. The rest of them go on boards or broken parts of the ship, and not one person dies. They end up on an island where now Paul ends up praying for people who are sick and bringing them Christ, an island he never would have went to if he hadn't been in a storm. I want to encourage you, when you're in a storm, complaining doesn't end the storm. When you're in a storm, getting angry and frustrated doesn't end the storm. When you're in a storm, the first thing you need to do is go to prayer. Talk to him. The second thing you need to do, I believe, is become thankful. Become thankful for what you don't yet see. Become thankful as if it's already happened. And I can guarantee you that is a key that unlocks God's miracle-working power. I've seen it many times in my life, and I want to encourage you, become thankful. I know many times over the years, and I'll be in personal prayer, and I like to pray as a pastor, obviously, but even before I was a pastor. And often I'll start with a prayer. You know, these are the needs. And I change it to, Lord, I just thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you that there is more than enough. I thank you you're touching people in Slave Lake. I thank you that laws that are against you are being changed in your name. And you begin with thankfulness, thankfulness, thankfulness. And something changes, and it changes first in you and I. And when that changes in you and I and hope comes alive, there's a platform for miracles to happen. Because my Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you can't be thankful, you don't have faith for what's ahead. Be thankful. Thank him for what you want to see. Thank him for what you don't yet see. And again, I'm going to say this, we need to practice being thankful. If you're not in a habit of being thankful, start practicing in it, and I'm going to say it again, make a list and read it out loud. Make a list and read it out loud. And then go back the next day and add some things to the list, because they'll start coming to you. Because once you start being thankful, it's easy to see things to be thankful for. But if you haven't been thankful for a while, you're kind of struggling. As a matter of fact, I bet you there's a few of you right now thinking, I hope he doesn't bring the mic and ask what I'm thankful for, because my mind is blank. And that's okay, but God wants to change that. So, write a list this week of things you're thankful for. And next week I'm going to ask if anybody did, okay? And read it out loud, and I guarantee you things are going to change. I've said write this list of what you're already thankful for. I want you to include on the list, or even make a second list of things you're thankful for that haven't yet happened. Okay? You guys able to do that? That's a faith step. I want you to give that a try. We have the most amazing gift of all time to be thankful for as Christians, and it's the gift of salvation. No one can take it from you. No one can steal it or mess it up. It's already paid for, and it's yours for eternity. The gift of salvation, of course, that I'm talking about is the gift that Christ gave when he came and died on a cross. His body was broken, his blood was shed for you and I. He paid the price for all of our mistakes and sins. And all we need to do is come to him and say, Lord, I believe you. Forgive me, come into my life. And with a simple confession like that, we become saved and forgiven, and we definitely have something to be thankful for. No matter what is going on around you, you know that he's got you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. That's something to be thankful for. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.